Blog Talk Radio.
Absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Master Plan. Of course, this is JT, and I am the master. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. And if you can hear that music, we are celebrating the day of Mother's Day. It is Mother's Day on a fine, fine day in the right, great day in the Northeast.
I'll always love my mama. She's my favorite girl.
Let's listen to this, and then we'll be back to get this show rolling.
She bought me in this world.
Sometimes I feel so bad when I think of all the things I used to do. How mama used to clean somebody else's house just to buy me a new perfume. I never understood how mama made it through the week when she never ever got a good night's sleep. Oh, she's one of a kind. You've got yours and I've got mine. Oh, hey mama, hey mama, my heart belongs to you. Oh, yeah.
I'll always love my mama. She's my favorite girl.
You only get one, you only get one, yeah.
I'll always love my mama. She born me in this world.
A mother's love is so special. It's something that you can't describe. It's the kind of love that stays with you until the day you die. She's taught me little things like saying hello and thank you please while scrubbing the floors on a bending knee. Oh, she's one of a kind. You've got yours and I've got mine.
Yes, this is the master. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. I'll say it again. It's 347-637-3220. I wanted to play that complete song. If you listen to the music, you should always remember your mother, not just on Mother's Day, but all days. This is a special day for me. My mother is a wonderful woman. I'm the third oldest in the family. My mother raised eight kids. My father passed away at an early age of 36, and she raised eight kids. I was 10 years old at the time when my father passed away. A single mother was a stay-home mother. Now she had to go out there and get a job to support her kids. With that, she did that. She maintained a full-time job, even able to at one point go to college and had a college education, and raised eight kids, six boys, two girls. And believe him, this strong black woman, not one of them has spent time in jail. Not one of them has been a
hung up on any kind of drugs. So I gotta give it to my mother. I'm 58 years old now, and it still chokes me up to think about my mother and the things that she's done and the things that she's sacrificed to for the betterment of her kids. All of her kids, we lost one when he was 15, but all of her other kids have been productive citizens, have been very positive black women and men, and I got to all attribute that to the foundation of the family, which I call my mother the foundation, because in most families, the mother is the foundation. A lot of things revolve around the mother. Some things that are not in full view, but behind the scenes is what a mother does. So love your mother, especially love her today. Appreciate what she has done for you throughout your life and for what she's going to do for the rest of her life. If you don't have your mother, appreciate the times that you did have her on earth. She'll always be in your heart and mind, and you can carry that until you pass away, and God willing that you'll be able to meet up with her in another lifetime. With that being said, like I said, this is a master plan. I am JT. This is a great day. We have a lot of things, not a lot of things, but a few things I want to cover. Talking about the NBA, the NFL, and some baseball. In fact, you know what? I'm feeling so good. We may even get into some fantasy baseball. You know, I'm not the most astute person in fantasy baseball, but I was asked to participate in a league for the first time ever in fantasy baseball, and we'll get to that. Now I'll tell you, let you know what's going on with that. But first, let's go with the what's happening right now, which would be the NBA. Now everyone knows that's following the NBA that some of these playoff series has gone down to the seventh game. Okay, Denver against LA, which was concluded yesterday, when LA finally won the series, a hotly contested, a tough series, and it. Excuse me, they finally won. And they're going to be going to face the a rematch with Oklahoma City Thunder. And in that final game, Meta World Peace, a.k.a. Ron Artest, was able to come back after his seven-game suspension and helped them to get over the hump. And I'm going to read an article, different snippets in an article. You know, the Lakers are going to have a rematch with the Oklahoma City Thunders. Oklahoma City Thunder. This is the last time they played each other. Ron Artest, this is the reason why Ron Artest got a seven-game suspension in the first place. Because he gave a nice bone, if those who don't know about that, a bone is an elbow. It usually gets you into the ribs or solar plexus, but this time our test. World Peace went a little too high and clocked James Harden on the side of the head, giving him a slight concussion, causing World Peace, quite naturally, by the commissioner, for a seven-game suspension. I would say this. Let me premise this by saying, if World Peace didn't come back to this game against the Nuggets, there's a strong chance that the Denver Nuggets will be moving on and not the L.A. Lakers. So I'm pretty sure Mike Brown and the Laker organization, including the players, are happy that World Peace showed up because he provides a physical presence and a defensive presence that a lot of the players don't do. So, and like I said, for those who are expecting World Peace to show some remorse for either the elbow he jammed in James Harden's head or the costly 7-game suspension resulting from it, well, you have dismissing the Nuggets with a series-clinching 96-87 victory, and you're going to wait a while if you think that Ron Artest is going to apologize for that. In fact, he says, bring it on. And this is a quote. It's not my concern. It's their concern. We live in America. You have freedom to do anything that you want to do. World Peace is saying to the fans of Oklahoma City Thunder, give me your best shot because I'm going to be doing the same thing. Hopefully, when I say that, he doesn't give somebody a best shot. He plays within the rules and doesn't do anything that's going to cause him more time away from the playoffs because the Lakers need him in the worst way. He is their physical presence. He is the enforcer, basically, because Bynum and Gasol they're not. They're just plain not. I'm not a big fan of Andrew Bynum. Who am I a fan of? Well, I like Kobe Bryant. I think he's a hell of a player, a hell of a player. One of the best. In fact, I think he's the best in the NBA, not LeBron. Even though LeBron won the MVP, and we'll get to that because I want to talk about LeBron winning the MVP too. But we're talking about World Peace. He can be both wonderfully and dangerously oblivious on his. So you don't know what you're going to get. And the question was posed to him that if or had he personally apologized to Harden for the elbow, or does he plan to do so? Even a simple handshake. And he said the handshake's out of the question. He don't plan to apologize to him. A quote, this is another quote from World Peace. I don't shake substitution's hands. Meaning James Harden, he comes off the bench. He's a sixth man. He's usually the first person to come off the bench. And the fact is he won a sixth man year award for the NBA. He doesn't start. Is a quote. So the arrogance of World Peace because the guy doesn't start, even though he may be a hell of a player, and there's been a lot of six-man awards players that are hell of a players, but even I guess he doesn't have any respect for anybody that doesn't start or he considers them below par players. This should be very interesting. This series doesn't lack storylines. Kevin Durant are the season's top two scorers. They're going to square off. We got Derek Fisher, a former Lakers guard who won 5 championships with the Lakers, will face off against his old team. And like I said, and World Peace will probably be at the top billing, at least for game one, because what took place the last time these two teams met. Kobe Bryant, in a quote, said, it's going to be intense. The crowd is obviously going to have a field day. That, and I'm sure the players will generate some type of energy from it. You got to believe that. Come on, people. I mean, this is going to be a highly anticipated and watched playoff series, because the fact is it was very exciting last year, and both these teams have changed from last year. The Oklahoma City Thunder is a better team, and the Los Angeles Lakers are not. The Los Angeles Lakers have taken a step back, in my opinion. The Oklahoma City Thunder have taken a step or two ahead, in my opinion, and I think this is going to be a tough series for the Lakers to win. But the X factor in this, and it's always the X factor, is number 24 on the Lakers side, Mr. Kobe Bryant. Kobe Bryant is one of the best clutch players, one of the best of all time players in the NBA. Push comes to shove, Oklahoma, I'm talking to you. Push comes to shove. If the game is on the line, you got to be up, and don't let Kobe get the ball, because he's one of the greatest clutch players of all time in the NBA. Unlike LeBron, Kobe thrives in the moment. Kobe wants the moment, wants the ball, goes to the ball, demands the ball in that moment when it's crunch time. So, Oklahoma, you know that. You've been witness to what Kobe Bryant has done to you in the last series that you played last year. Don't let that happen to you again. There are going to be moments in this series until whoever wins that Kobe Bryant is going to get an opportunity to put a dagger in your chest. Don't let it happen, Mr. Westbrook, Mr. Durant, Mr. Harden, Mr. Perkins. Don't let it happen. That's all I can say about that. What can I tell you? Now, let's move on from that. I'm talking about that. Let's move on from that. Now, like I said, there's other series going on that Boston played Philly last night, and they squeaked away with a 92-91 victory with yet again Rondo coming up with a triple-double. Listen, boys, I'm talking about the Sixers. You got to run. You got to run these old men's legs to rubber in order to win this game. You slow the game down, you fall into the trap. You fall into the Celtics' wheelhouse of playing. You preserve those legs, and they'll be there for the fourth quarter. You run them for three and a half quarters. They have nothing left, and the game will be yours. Just like I said, Oklahoma City Thunder, don't let Kobe be able to put the dagger in your chest when the game is on the line. Don't give the old men of the Boston Celtics the opportunity to do the same to you in the fourth quarter. You have to run them into the ground. You have young legs and a very good coach that will take you to the promised land of beating the Celtics if you do what you're supposed to do. That's all I can say about that. We have one person in the chat room. Black, welcome to the chat room. I'm glad you're listening. I don't know if you're going to be calling in, but I appreciate you jumping in the chat room. If you got something to say, talk to me, my brother. Anyway, today, Mother's Day. Is the L.A. Clippers or is the Memphis Grizzlies going to give a Mother's Day present to their respective mothers? Who is it going to be? L.A. at Memphis. Got a banged-up Chris Paul, banged-up Blake Griffin, and a hungry, very hungry Memphis Grizzly team that can't wait to take this L.A. Clipper team that is relatively new to the playoffs, and want to take them out. I like Memphis in this game. I think the Clippers have run their course. I think the injuries may have slowed him down. Chris Paul is basically not the same guy after spraining. I think he sprained his knee. He's not able to do the things that he is accustomed to doing, and that's going to hurt the Clippers. Memphis is a very good defensive team, one of the best turnover teams in the NBA. And I think one of the best turnover teams in the NBA. I think because they're playing at home, which is an advantage, I think the Memphis Grizzlies are going to prevail and be able to play. Unfortunately, their next opponent would be the San Antonio Spurs, who are just laying in the weeds, so to say. Because all the big talk is about the Lakers, about the Oklahoma City Thunder. San Antonio Spurs I wouldn't say it's an afterthought, even though the disposed of the Utah Jazz four games to zero, and they've been looking like they're pretty strong. They've been pretty much not in the limelight, basically, but they're a strong contender to come out of the West. But we'll have to see what happens with the LA Clippers and Memphis Grizzlies. Like I said, in my opinion, I like the Memphis Grizzlies. I think the Memphis Grizzlies are the team. If I was a betting man, which I am, I would put my money on the Memphis Grizzlies to prevail at home against the LA Clippers. Then we're moving over to this one. Now, this is a young team, a very young team with some older parts, but it's a young team going against the Fab Three, the Big Three, the Dynamic Trio, or whatever you want to call it. We're talking about the Indiana Pacers against the Miami Heat. Yes, people, the Miami Heat. What can I tell you? First game, 3:30 this afternoon. Indiana needs to make this a ugly game. That's all I can tell you. Indiana needs to make this an ugly game, meaning it comes to fourth quarter. They need to be within 5 points of the Miami Heat. Reason being, if the Indiana Pacers are able to make this a close game, ugly game, and make the score close coming down to the last minute or two, Miami, for all their worldliness and all their dynamic plays and fantastic dunks and great players that they supposedly have, is not a very good team. Come crunch time being a minute or two with a point or two or three, either way, it doesn't make a difference. But the pressure, the pressure is on. And they are a team that doesn't handle pressure well. I'm looking in the chat room, and Black is telling me that the Heat's going to sweep it and get the broom out. I don't think they will. Like I said, I think Indiana has to make this an ugly game. Make it so the game is close into the fourth quarter, because, like I said, if you watch the game of basketball, if you watch the Miami Heat, Miami does not take to pressure well. it's happened over the course of last year and into the playoffs last year. Yes, they went to the finals. Yes, they did. But they did not handle close game pressure well. It carried over last season. In the regular season, it carried over to the playoffs. It carried over into this season, regular season, even though it was a shortened season. And it also and they also carried into the, excuse me, into the playoffs. The one close game, and this is the key. Now, I understand that because of all their talent, they have a tendency to run the score up on teams. But the New York Knicks, this is not because I'm a New York Knicks fan. The New York Knicks played Miami five games. The five games they played them, the closest game they played them, they lost. Miami, I wouldn't say wilted in the closing seconds, but it was typical what Miami does game in and game out. Game in and game out. They don't play well when the pressure is on. They're great front-running teams. They're great front-running. Excuse me. They're a great front-running team, and LeBron James is one of the best front-running players in the NBA. True, he won the MVP. In my opinion, Kevin Durant was the MVP this year, but I don't get a vote. I don't get the majority vote, let me put it that way. So whoever voted, whatever they voted, they decided to give LeBron James the MVP. But I'm thinking, Indiana, you got to make this game ugly. You got to make this game close. You then have a real good shot of winning this because the I'm telling you, people, if you think that the people, the players in the NBA don't see or read what the Miami Heat are all about, you're wrong. These guys are no dummies. They know that Miami does not respond well to pressure. The only closeout player that I could really go to would be Dwayne Wade. And for some reason, last year and this year, Dwayne Wade has been shaky in doing that. I don't know if he's got the LeBron disease or the Queen of Hearts has just got a stranglehold on that team about being able to come through in the clutch. But I'm telling you, the hardest thing to do is make it a close game. I understand that because of the dynamics of the team that you're playing. But you got to try to make the game close and keep it close so you have a shot to win at the end. What can I tell you there, Black? I brought him up simple for that reason. Well, I have a commercial that I want to run that I've been running Black, my man, wants me to run until he tells me not to run it anymore. And I usually run it halfway through the program, and I'll be running it shortly. But let me finish with Indiana, and then I run this commercial. Anyway, excuse me. First game in Indiana plays is in Miami. Miami disposed of the Knicks pretty well in the last game. Indiana moves on from playing the Chicago Bulls, which was the number one seed. But to tell you the truth, did they play? Hold on a minute here. Hold on a minute, people. Am I speaking out of turn here? Indiana disposed of Orlando. I'm sorry. I apologize. Philadelphia disposed of Chicago, minus Joakim Noah and Derrick Rose. So even though they were a one seed, I would put an asterisk around that because the one seed without their two best players is really not the one seed. Anyway, I don't like Indiana in this first game. I think the Miami Heat will probably win this game. I don't know if Indiana can sustain or be with the Heat in the first game. First games are usually very intense, very, very, very focused, especially the Miami Heat. I think that they're on a mission, and if you look at it, they look like they really don't have any kind of resistance in the East. But anything can happen. This is the playoffs, and you never know until the games are played. Let's listen to a word from this, not I would say sponsor, but for lack of a better word, from one of our sponsors. How's that?
Indu Studio 9 and Corrupted Nature Entertainment presents Wasted Wednesday's Reggae Hip Hop Showcase, hosted by D-Champ CEO, with 93.9's DJ Analyze on the ones and twos. Starting Wednesday, April 25th, and every Wednesday following, at Ross Lounge, 4809 Georgia Avenue, Northwest. Doors open at 9, ladies free till 11, and $5 after. Men $10 all night, $3 Ross Punch, $100 bottles, and group of 5 females get a free bottle of champagne. 21 and up to enter. For showcase sign up, contact D-Champ at 202-440-6550. Be there. Be there. Be there.
That's right, be there. Be there, nothing but a party.
I want winners.
And that's what you want from your favorite team in the NBA. We'll see what happens. I'm going to nestle down, get a nice snack, and be able to watch these games when I get a chance. Going to spend some time with my mom on Mother's Day. Hope you're able to do the same. Even if your mother is no longer with you, go visit her. Go visit her at her resting place. Say hello to your mother. Give her love and a kiss. And walk away feeling better that you've at least paid your respect to your mother on Mother's Day. I know in our busy lives we have a tendency to take your mother or your loved ones for granted. Well, this is a special day that you can take your time out in your busy schedule to go visit your mother if she's no longer with you, or go visit your mother if she is. Remember that. Anyway, also, you know, I was talking about Mother's Day. I'm talking about the NBA. And the other things I'm going to be talking about is the NFL and baseball. I'm going to be talking about new beginnings. New beginnings of a certain person that's joining the family. And new beginnings of a partnership between someone coming from the left and someone coming from the right. All I can tell you is the fireworks are going to be sparking, and I'm giving you a little taste of... Anyway, like I said, that's a little taste. We're going to be talking about it a little later. You may be interested. You may not. You may have the time to jump into the fray. You may not, but there'll be a new beginning and a new partnership in the family starting the end of this week. Anyway, let's talk about the NFL. Now, excuse me. There's a few things that have been happening that that need to be talked about, in my opinion. One of the things is this: the NFL referees are in a contract negotiations. excuse me, and supposedly the NFL is recruiting. Excuse me for a minute. Sorry about that, folks. Is recruiting a replacement officials because I guess they're looking looking down the road and thinking that it's going to be a strike or holdout or whatever, or they're going to lock the NFL officials out because of the contract negotiations. What they did with the players, they plan to do with the NFL officials. I don't know how you guys feel about that. I got a few people in the chat room. Maybe you want to express to me what you think about replacement officials possibly happening if the NFL can't come to a viable conclusion and negotiation with the NFL. You think it's going to make a difference in how the games are played? You think the games are going to be supposedly, for those conspiracy theorists, fixed, that they can sway the way the games are played or won, I should say, from one team or another if they get the replacement officials in there versus the real officials or the official NFL officials? What do you guys think about that? I got a few people in the chat room. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. I say that again. It's 347-637-3220. I got my man Black, the bookie, coming in here telling me a replacement fix refs. So, and what he's trying to say to me is that they're going to replace the refs that have been refereeing the game for the last years with replacement refs. And in that case, just like I had said, they'll be able to sway the games one way or another according to how they want them to go. Well, in that case, there's some games that have been played in past years that look like they were. You wonder what the officials were looking at. They have replay. They have all kinds of cameras in every angle, for the most part, in every game. And some of these officials make some calls that are very, very questionable. Not saying that the games are being directed one way or the other, but I'm just saying. I'm not a conspiracy type of guy, but I have a couple of co-hosts on other shows, one being the FFP Crew show, which is on 8 o'clock on Thursdays, 8 to 9, and that would beg to differ on that. And I keep on getting the reference, the inference that things are being manipulated by monetary means. If you make a call, you'll get this a certain amount of money. If you make another call, you get this certain amount of money. I don't know where that's coming from. What facts or do you base that on, my man Black? Why would you say that? Do you have a specific incident that you can recall that it would videogate? Well, videogate only that had nothing to do with making calls that a ref made. That happened to do with a team videoing another team, their opponent, before they played them, so they could gain an advantage, which was illegal, which you couldn't do. But the evil empire, meaning the New England Patriots, decided they could do that, that they were above the law, that they wouldn't supposedly get caught, and they didn't wouldn't have gotten caught unless certain people ratted them out, and that certain person basically regrets in retrospect now that he works for doesn't work in the NFL anymore, and he works for entertainment that he regrets ratting the team out. But that's neither here nor that's water under the bridge. You can't do it. That's why I said you never burn bridges, because you never know when you got to walk back over that same bridge. So and the thing about it was this. The Patriots, and I'm digressing, but that's okay. The Patriots, those tapes, they got rid of those tapes pretty quickly without anybody seeing them, which is a damn shame. But in Black brings this up. The Saints, I don't know if they had any tape except for audio tape about what they wanted to do. and Black, my man, is going absolutely berserk on the chat room about different subjects. Anyways, let me put it this way. From what I understand, they had pages and pages of transcripts, Black, about the Saints. No tapes except for audio tape of what Greg Williams said in one pregame meeting with the defense. Now they played that. That didn't get destroyed. They played that. Okay. You would think the NFL would have known about that. They probably didn't know about it. They probably did know about it, but they still, to justify what they were doing, they let it play out. But being that. And this is just my idea, and this is just my thought, but being that what happened with the Patriots and Robert Kraft being so influential in the NFL, influential and I do believe one of the influencing guys to for Roger Goodell to get his job, that that whole Patriot debacle was unceremoniously swept under the rug, even though they got penalized, they swept whatever physical evidence they had under the rug, got rid of it real quick, so it wouldn't linger on. Not like what's happening with the Saints. And I think this is unfair. Even though that the Saints may have done things that weren't kosher, players are getting absolutely toasted from all different directions for what took place. I don't think that's fair. I understand you suspend a player, but for a whole year, that's unprecedented. Now, it was institutionalized, meaning that the coaching staff and the organization knew about it. From the GM down, they knew about it. The GM down didn't put a squash on it. They let it fester. They let it keep going. That's the problem. If you have a phone, if you're trying to get on the phone, let me know and I'll call you. If you want to get on a conversation, Black. He said, I don't think your board is working. Well, I'm not sure if anybody's trying to call. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. If you're trying to call me, Black, let me know and I will call you. I do have your number, so I'll give you a call. Anyway, like I was saying, there's things that should have come out when the Patriots did what they did, and it didn't happen, and that's a shame. But we'll see what happens with that. Anyway, let's move on to anything. I left where I would have really wanted to go when I was talking about the NFL officials. So we may have the same thing that happened to the players happen to the NFL officials. I think that the the NFL is going to lock out the officials if they can't come to an agreement. What else is new? That's nothing new to me. Let's talk about this. This is something I saw that was very interesting. LeSean McCoy is in contract talks, right? And DeSean Jackson told a interesting thing to LeSean McCoy. He says, "Hey, my man, don't do what I did. Don't hold out. You should come into camp and negotiate like that, because the Eagles will not take kindly to you holding out, and don't think you can get your way if you hold out." So that's an interesting twist, especially from coming from DeSean Jackson, who pouted, who pretty much sucked his thumb all the way for the whole season, threw a temper tantrum for the whole season he threw a temper tantrum and it was in front of the whole NFL fandom who watched the Eagles, and he still didn't get his way. And at the end, Drew Rosenhaus, who happens to be his agent, who happens to be LeSean McCoy's agent also, should learn from that. The Eagles organization will not cater or kowtow to a player. They'll do it on their terms. If you've put in the work and you're a player that they wanted to keep, they'll reward you, because Andy Reid is like that. Andy Reid is a very loyal head coach and management, and he'll reward you for being loyal and being a good player. If you are a problem child, if you display things that you shouldn't be doing, Andy Reid will hold your feet to the fire, my friend. All right? Let's also talk about this. T-Jax is a woman. Anyway, Black being a Cowboy fan, so anybody I'm talking about, the NFC East, talking about the Giants, the Philadelphia Eagles, or the Washington Redskins, Black is going to disparage him in one way or the other. He only sees the blue star on the helmet of the Cowboys, and his bias leans heavily. And I'm saying that to you. It leans heavily, Black, to the star, which I understand. We'll see this year who's the better team in Texas, the one that resides in Houston, or the one that resides down in Dallas. I think the one that resides in Houston will better make a better showing and represent Texas. Excuse me, Texas is a little better than those boys, or I should say them girls, in Dallas. That's all I got to say about that. All right. The other thing I want to talk about is this. If you didn't know it or not, the Jets wanted to go to Hard Knocks, the show Hard Knocks. The owner wanted to put the Jets back on to Hard Knocks. Rex Ryan had a little bit of humble pie, And at first he was all for it. But until he got a dose of humble pie, he decided against it. And I guess the owner and the coach, I wouldn't say they were at odds, but they had different opinions of whether they should be on the Hard Knocks or not. Maybe the owner, Woody Johnson, better thought or better common sense prevailed, and the Jets turned down Hard Knocks, which makes sense. Me being a former Jet fan, they've gone through a tirade. I wouldn't say a tirade. They've gone through a myriad of bad press and head scratching about, in my opinion, their draft picks, their trades, their the whole way they've been going about the last past season, the off season, and handling their players, dysfunctional locker room. So there's going to be a lot of turmoil on this team. Me myself, I had been a Jet fan ever since I was 13, 14 years old. My close friends, my relatives, guys I know, and I've said it on several shows, and I say it on this. Been a Jet fan for 40-something years. Tired of the bullshit. Excuse my language on Sunday on a Mother's Day, but that's the plain fact. Tired of BS. Tired of all the aggravation. Tired of the dysfunction of the organization. I need to go to a team that I can believe in, that is going to be dedicated to winning and using common sense to do that, and not make themselves a sideshow. I like the Houston Texans. I like the Houston Texans, and I think they're a team that's going to be in the hunt very seriously to go to the Super Bowl this year. And that's not the reason why I'm jumping on the bandwagon. I've liked them for a while. I've identified their running back years back when others didn't know this guy. I was touting him to the highest roof. I'm talking about Arian Foster, and now he's one of the best running backs in the league. Anyway, got about a little more than seven minutes left in this show. I want you to do this. On Friday, 7 p.m., those who are listening to me now, if you want to hear controversy, if you want to hear debate with a little bit of sports talk and some politics, me coming from the left, talking about Mac Williams coming from the right, we're going to give it to you straight from 7 to 9. The name of the show, No Chaser. The new show, Mac is joining the family. I'll be co-hosting with Mac. We're going to be talking about a lot of subjects, sports, social issues, political views. Like I said, it's going to be some fireworks, people. You got two older brothers that look at life from two different points of view, from two brothers from different mothers. Jump into the fray. It'll be 7 to 9 every Friday until we can't do it no more. I'm looking forward to it. I know my Mac, man, Mac from D.C. is looking forward to it. I'm the brother from Jersey. He's the brother from D.C. Let's get it on, Mac. Let's get it on. That's all I got to say about that. Anyway, let's talk about some baseball. Let's talk about some baseball. Yeah, that's right. That's right. It's straight. The name of the show is No Chaser. You hear me? It's No Chaser. It's going to be straight from the heart, straight from the mind of the brother from D.C. and from the brother from Jersey. We'll see what happens. All right. Let's talk about some baseball. Now, for those who watch baseball or are into baseball, the Washington Nationals, and I'm going to give Black some props, his boys from D.C., from the Nationals, Steven Strasburg has been pitching his butt off. The problem with the Nationals is that their offense is shaky. They rely too much on their pitching, and they have to straighten out their offense. But and a big problem now, not big problem, but another problem is they keep having guys going down. They have guys going down. They had Wilson Ramos, their catcher, tore his ACL. Going after a pass ball, he tore his ACL. He's going to be out. He had to be helped off the field by two trainers or two players, whoever it was, two people on either side of him, because he couldn't put any pressure on it. So he's going to be gone. He's had it for the rest of the year. Your players are keep going down, and that's a problem. They may be. I'm responding to you, Black. They may be in first place, but they damn sure ain't going to the World Series, not the way they're playing. They got to bring a little bit more than what they have in order to go to the World Series. True, they have pitching, but they need the bats. They need guys to get healthy, Zimmerman, Morse, and others to get healthy to balance out that pitching. Anyway, like I said, let's talk about fantasy baseball, people. Let's talk about baseball for a short minute. You know what? I don't have enough time for that. I wish I did. I got about 2 minutes left in the show. This is what we're going to do. You reached the master plan. I want to say happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there, all the mothers that were, all the mothers to be. You got to appreciate your mother. Don't take them for granted. Tune into on Tuesday, Compassion to Kenny with Tim Fun at 4 o'clock. Totally different pace type of show than what we have going here. FSP show is on 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock on Thursdays. Myself, Jeff the Joker, and Black the Bookie are the three guys that are on that show. And also, like I said, on Friday at 7 o'clock, we're launching a new show. It's called No Chaser with JT, me, as the co-host, and Matt Williams from D.C. as the host of this new show, 7 to 9. Be there. I think you'll like it. Call in and participate. It'll be off the chain, trust me. And on Saturday, will be the FSP show with Vic Gardner as the host. I am the co-host. Black the Bookie comes in there, and others come in there to give their opinion. And like I said, we right around in the circle. We come right back again to the master plan at 10 o'clock in the morning on every Sunday, 10 to 11, giving you all kinds of information about what's going on and in sports, politics, whatever. And as always, closing. This is what I always closing with. Life is a sphere. What goes around comes around. Be careful how you treat people. I always say that. today may be for you, but always remember tomorrow is for someone else. Just how God pulls you up, he can pull you down. You never know who you will need in the future, so be careful, people. Like I said, how you treat people. Do unto others as you do have them do unto you. Peace, love, and happiness to all on this special day for mothers. Talk to you later. See you on Thursday. I'm out.
What pride is all about. Go out and tell them it's time to take a stand. YG is working.